Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 646. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'd just like to point out that it's been 98 degrees in DC the last 3 days in a row, and I'm on the podcast, Jeffrey.
I thought this was going to be an OC reference to the boy band.
I had no idea where any of that was going. It's like nice and cool here.
Yeah, the rest like of us are roasting to death.
Yeah, it's horrible.
The entire eastern seaboard is on fire currently.
I mean, it's only felt like 100.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, well, Jeff had that earlier, like a week or, what was it, 2 weeks ago? So.
Yeah, on and off. There's been some bad, about 2 weeks ago. Why did it take so long to get to you guys? What the fuck?
No idea. Just like it's very hot now, and it's September. Let's make it hot now. I don't.
Yeah, dude. If it's anything like that, when I'm supposed to go camping in a couple of weeks, I'm just not going.
No, don't do that to yourself.
But it looks like my 10-day. There's some days where high is in 60s. So my 10-day looks fucking fantastic.
That actually sounds great. Mine, I don't. It does get down to the 70s at some point in the next 10 days, but not the 60s. It's not going to cool down that much.
It's fucking clear sailing for me from here. Like, literally, like, tomorrow, high of 71, you know? It gets fucking beautiful. Now, I just need to stay that way for one more week, because mine this week is when I'm going to be in the woods.
I was going to say, the good and bad for us is, like, it's supposed to rain all weekend, so it does cool down, but I'm like, oh, you couldn't have rain during the week when I'm actually having to go, you know, to work? Like, when I actually want to go out, you're like, ha-ha.
Rain.
When it's, like, that hot, like how you guys are saying it is by you, like, I don't care if it rains on me, I just let it happen. I'm like, fuck it.
Yeah.
As somebody that works outside, I would assume that would be how that goes, Jeff. Like,
I mean, what does it matter? You're like covered in sweat anyway. You're already soaking wet. It doesn't matter.
The thing that's bad is, like, you know, it's still unpleasant when, like say your shoes get totally soaked all the way through and stuff like that. But again, if it's like 100 degrees, I'll take it.
Understandable. Earl is here as well.
I would just also like to denote that I have started a new role. I will also be a Mario ambassador. I will go around the country talking about Mario to people. I don't know if I do or do not get paid for it, but, you know, I'll make an Twitter video.
All right. Well, welcome, new Mario ambassador. And Jeff is here as well.
Yeah.
One time Jeff is gonna just have it.
I was gonna make a like that 70s show joke, but I was like, you know what? Maybe not.
No, that's maybe not now.
Not ever again.
Tony listened to the show last week, which I assume that none of us actually normally listen back to what we
I can't.
Sometimes, you know, it's nice to listen when you're not on to hear what you guys talk about.
Yeah.
And then I let it keep going. I listened to the one from the previous week, which I actually was on. So, I don't know. We're pretty entertaining. I always kind of wonder, like, are we doing something that people would enjoy listening to and, like, pay attention to and be like, oh, that was fun. And, like, good observation. Oh, they said a funny thing. And, like, our show's actually like that.
Sometimes.
I mean, I'm sure we go off the rails.
We do. I also noticed that, like, when I wasn't on the show, for instance, it happened again today. Like, we go through the intros, and I always, every time. Like, when I'm not on the show, the intro takes, like, 30 seconds. And when I'm on the show, the intro is, like, 10 minutes.
That's fine.
I wasn't criticizing myself. I think that's an accomplishment by me.
Able to just derail everything immediately. Yeah, so I edit the show every week, and I don't listen to the whole thing either. So I'm glad you listening to it. We're like, hey, we actually are decent at this.
we sound like a podcast sounds.
Good. That.
I guess the one downside is we're just not white enough. A lot of video game podcasts are extremely white.
Very, very.
Like
we are a good percentage white.
You are, yes. I'm just saying, yes. Just compared to some other ones. So.
You're fucking it up, Earl.
I'm sorry.
Well, I think it helps that, you know, we have Earl, and then we have three very liberal white men. So it kind of changes the discussion that you might otherwise have.
I bet not a single one of you are mad about pronouns this week, are you?
Not yeah. Even in the slightest.
Okay. So
damn shame.
I didn't even notice them in the game. maybe I missed it, but I think
they did notice. I did. Yeah, they did. I noticed when I was creating my character, and it did say like she, her. I'm assuming I could have changed that or something. I don't know, but like, holy shit! Okay, talk about losing your mind over something that like, yeah. Like, who cares? It's like RPG. Isn't it cool that they let you like do what you want? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the name, right? It's a role playing game. You like, wouldn't you want to role play the character that you've created, like whether that be, you know, she, her, he, him, they, them, whatever, wouldn't you rather just have more options? Like, why are people crazy?
Except that went viral though. Like, I don't know, that cracks me up. The guy, dude, like extremely fucking mad about it. Like, it's so fucking boring.
Nuts. No, Earl, we did not get it. I don't think. Crazy stuff going on. But yes, as Earl kind of alluded to, we are playing Starfield, which I talked a little bit about last week because I have the patience of a gnat. I was like, I want to play this right now. Although I think Jeff may have put more hours into it by now.
I don't know. I think it says I'm like 5 or 6 hours.
Okay, so I'm still a little bit ahead of you then.
Some of that is idle time, or yeah. I don't know. Just the way I play this type of game is like there's a lot of just like standing around, like looking at shit, and I guess I'm right. But like sometimes it's me looking at Twitter as I'm standing there, and the camera's circling around me.
I mean, you're playing the role of your character who is looking at social media.
Yeah.
I'm a
social butterfly in the game.
You are out there talking yourself out of situations.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've all, well, Earl has not yet, but the rest of us have put a chunk of time into Starfield. We won't get into deep spoilers because I think Tony and Jeff are back a little bit. I've done some main quest stuff that they have not, and I have come across something right before this show started that I was like, wow, that's really cool, and unfortunately we can't talk about it yet. You guys aren't there, but
who knows when I'll get there. Sean's got me off doing side quests now.
Yeah. And I get the appeal of just like, ooh, like what's that squirrel over there and running over and like, you know, following the quest lines on the side. And there's other ones that pop up as you talk to people. Everything I've read is like, do the main quest.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's like, do the main quest and then do side stuff. And like, I don't understand, like, it's something about like they can't say what it is
exactly. Yes, I and believe I've hit that point, and you're gonna want to do it because it changes some fundamental things about the game.
Interesting.
Damn it.
And then like It's like, dude, I'm off in the middle of this fucking quest now too. That like, I'm like getting my ass kicked, and I'm like, why did I go? Why did I listen to Sean?
I mean, that stuff is very well written. I mean, it's a Bethesda game. Like, that stuff's always going to be fun and enjoyable. But when you get a chance, you might want to go back to the main quest.
It's annoying because, like, having played lots of Bethesda games, like, normally the main quest is fine. But the cool thing about them is, like, all the other stuff you find. Like, the random-ass quests and the odd people that you run into. And, like, the stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with the main quest.
That's true.
Especially here, like, they give you this whole, like, there's... It's, like, overwhelming the number of places you can go and the number of things you can go out there and do. And you're like, I don't know what to do first. There's so much to do. And, like, why would I want to stick with the main quest if I can do all this other random stuff? Like, I feel like I ended up on the... I can't remember what the first big planet is. New something or other. New Atlantis?
Yeah.
And I feel like I looked at a couple things and then I left. Like, but there... It was a massive planet. Like, there are entire districts of this planet that I haven't looked at all, and here I am jetting away off on the quest, leaving it behind. This kind of feels like I haven't gotten my money's worth in New Atlantis, and I have to go back.
You will go back there quite a bit.
Yeah, I've already left it and been back, like, 5 times.
Yeah, like your base of operations, the lodge is there. The lodge. You're going to be going back and forth between there a lot. So what do you guys think so far?
I think it reminds me so much of Fallout 4. Like, it is Fallout 4 in space. I think it's better than Fallout 4. Like, I think the world is better, more populated. I think the gunplay and the inventory management is better, like, a lot better. I think back to Fallout 4, which was following up on Fallout 3 with the VATS system, and like the whole like real time VATS thing, trying to make up for the fact that their gunplay wasn't that great. I think this kind of leaves that behind, and so you're actually fighting in real time. And I saw some people cautioning about the gunplay not being fun for a while, and I've enjoyed it.
It is perfectly serviceable.
Yes.
Still feel very much... It's like, feels like Fallout, but a little better, but yes. I still feel like I'm always scrounging for fucking, like, ammo, health,
ammo.
And it's just like, I guess trying this out.
That's the funny part, the thing with the ammo, because like in Fallout it made sense, because you're like, you're in a destroyed world, it's hard to find ammo. It's a resource. Now you're in like this massive universe with all this like production and space stuff, and like, why can't I just go like buy infinite ammo? Why can't I go to the ammo shop before I go on my mission and just like make sure I don't run out of shotgun shells?
Oh, because you can't carry that much, because then you're over encumbered and you can't fast travel. Well, I hate that. It's so annoying.
Especially, like, what can I drop? What can I walk?
Oh, the 17 Grendels I picked up.
That's weird too, because everything looks like it weighs like a pound or two. You're like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah. How am I? Like...
And then you realize you picked up 17 of the same gun.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I don't need these.
I think I've been spoiled by Baldur's Gate 3. Because Baldur's Gate 3, when you can loot stuff, you can send things, you can either put it into your own inventory or just send it directly to your camp. Like, I want to loot something and not have to pick it up. I want to send it right to my ship.
They literally,
like, I don't
want to
be carrying
robot.
Like plutonium around. Like, what?
Yeah, they literally give you a robot at the outset of this game. Why can't he just like drop the shit off? Like, I'm just gonna hand this to you. You bring it back to the cargo hold, and like, even if it's on a timer, like, you know, okay, he's off. It's gonna be 2 minutes before he gets back. Like, I think like Torchlight did something like that with their pets, where you could send them to sell shit. Just have the robot bring shit back to the ship. Why am I always over encumbered?
On the other hand, I like that being over encumbered doesn't make you walk really slowly like it did in the other games. Now it's like you get tired faster.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
so you
not
can still
like,
move
oh.
at a normal speed, but
I like how they do it in
you
Elden
can't fast
Ring.
Travel. How's it handled there, Jeff? I don't think I ever over encumbered myself.
If you over encumber yourself, you'll be slow. But the only and there is encumbrance, but the only thing things that counts is what you're equipped. So you could have a million things on you. Like you could have infinite things on you, but as long as you're not using them, like wearing them in some way, it doesn't count towards your weight. So you don't really have to worry. Like you pick up everything in those games. Like
yeah, and because like it is still this is a video game. Like it's still very video gamey. It is not a simulation. It's like and let us carry everything. What's it matter?
Especially with how, like, you know, all of their games is like about looking around at everything and picking everything up. Like, it's just like, I mean, you do have the option, and I have already started to level up, like, carry. But I guess it's just going to be a lot of management, too, just going back to my cargo hold or whatever.
I just now just pick up ammo. Like I don't pick up the equipment that is dropping from most of the enemies I'm fighting.
I don't pick up repeating weapons because I don't think their stats ever change. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like if it's I'm trying to think of the name of one of the guns, but like if it's just that, unless it's like a modified. So like I have a. Some sort of weird modified gun that like increases the odds of someone dropping a med pack when you kill them. And I was like, okay, that's worth switching to this. It's like this, it does the same damage as like the regular version of the gun. I was like, oh, a chance at med packs. I would like that.
Yeah. What else?
I like having a starship. It's nice. I want a bigger one. I have like 5 crew now, but my ship only can carry a crew of 2. So they're kind of just like roaming around. I know you get additional ships too. So you can have like more than one and stick other people on other ships and send them away. Especially the annoying fan. Do any of you guys have the annoying fan?
Which one's that?
So when you're creating your character, you have all those options about like what religion they can be and what their history is. And one of the options is annoying fan. And it's this dude who follows you around and worships you and talks to you and is super annoying. I definitely turned it on. He runs after you and bugs you until you accept him as a member of your crew. He's an ass crew member. His stats are terrible. He's worthless. But the one thing he has going for you is he's constantly giving you gifts. Like he's giving you stuff all the time. And every time you get on your ship, like if you're having a bad day at work, you should turn this game on and have your annoying friend, because the dude fucking worships you. He's like talking about how awesome you are and how great you are, and how he's writing this history of Constellation and Constellation's greatest members, and you know, obviously you're going to be the greatest member, and like thank you for boosting my confidence. But I kind of want to get a second ship so I can put him on that and stop listening to him, because he's just too much.
Yeah, I'm happy I did not choose him. I vaguely remember that being one of the things.
Yeah,
I think I just skipped over that. I was like, this looks goofy.
It was amusing. I mean, a lot of those options, there was like a really good thing about them and a really bad thing. And like, the really bad thing about him is just like, he says
he's annoying.
He's not.
I spend all day listening to people say things that are annoying. I can deal with that. I don't really care. Gives you stuff though. But yeah, I have like 5 crew members, and they're like all wandering around in my one tiny ship. So I look forward to getting a bigger one. That's kind of why I've wandered off from the main quest, because I'm trying to get a larger ship or a second ship to like spread this out. Somehow
understandable.
Also the initial ship, like there's not much on it. Like I kind of want a ship that has like those things that let you mod weapons or like build stuff. Like, and all you can do is research on that initial ship. There's like nothing else.
Very small. It's like a little tube. There's,
yeah.
Like there's nothing, there's no like other rooms, right? Or like another floor to it. It's just that little like.
Yeah. And then when you land, it has the, like the landing bay. That's it. Like not much.
I modded it. So it has like extra power, but I'm like, I'm not spending anything else on this because I'm going to get a new ship as soon as possible.
So Jeff, how are you enjoying it?
It, you know, I missed what Tony was saying for like 1 second, but kind of probably similar to what he said, like it really reminds me of their games. Like it's not anything
Bethesda game.
Yeah, it's not anything like crazy. It's not like some crazy departure fall. It's like so much of the things that we've been talking about are things that were in their games, like the encumbrance and all that, right? Like, but I like playing their game. I think I said last week, even like I at the end of the day did like Fallout 4. I didn't think it was as good as 3 or New Vegas, but I liked it. But all that said, I do think that this game, like, it looks a little better than their games usually do. It kind of, I have not really seen much in the way of bugs. The gunplay feels slightly, so it's just like, It's their type of game. It's just refined a little bit, you know. And yeah, being able to like go around space is neat. You don't really fly so much as like do it from a map, but I like that anyways. I like the feel of just sitting in the cockpit and like going, all right, let's.
Yeah, it looks cool.
I don't want a space flight sim. I don't want that.
I don't either.
Want to spend hours like flying across the sky. Like there are people, Sean, hello, that might enjoy that kind of thing, but I can't. I don't have the patience. I like the lightness of like the space combat. I don't want a hardcore space combat sim. I can't do it. I kind of like where they ended up.
I was so scared because I'd heard. Oh, the ship controls are weird and this and that. I was like, oh no. And it's like, it's really just literally like you're just sitting in a cockpit and choosing where you want to go next. Like.
Yeah, I mean, when you get into some other space battles, you have to like manage your systems a little bit. So like you're throwing up, more power to the shields or your engine because you want to go faster or your guns because you need them to be stronger or last longer. And that's annoying the way they've set that up because it's all like left, right on the D-pad and then up and down.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's very simplistic, like controls.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be too much to it. And I'm hoping to not get into a ton of space combat.
They start adding stuff like you can target systems. Like if you keep an enemy ship in your sights, you can like target the engines and knock out their engines so you can board them. Like that kind of stuff is cool.
Yeah.
But it's like it's very simple. It's not hard to do. I haven't been in any like massive space battles. I don't think I've fought more than like 2 enemy ships at a time. So I don't know like how big it gets.
I pulled in to one where like I don't know what the Vanguard or whatever, like one of the military units. They were being attacked by spacers, like 6 or 7 of them. So that's the biggest battle I was in. It's like I helped them out. But there was like another ship there also to like pull aggro away from you, so you weren't fighting all 7 at once. I can't imagine it gets much more than that because otherwise it would get really chaotic and it's very simplistic. So it's not like a super hardcore space flight sim. You don't want to fight 10, 15
right.
fighters with your not very nimble freighter.
Right. If you got like a cool ship that could like dive in and like, that might be fun, like flip around, but you're not piloting like an X-wing. You're
No, you're I mean, like, your initial ship is basically a bus.
Yeah. And a small bus. It's like a tiny bus. You're driving like the short bus.
You're driving the short bus, yeah. With your team, your crew in it.
And the annoying fan who you can jettison into space.
Jeff, you're right. It's a Bethesda game. Like, it's a Bethesda game that has like minor space sim elements to it.
Yeah,
I know that probably makes some people sad because they want that hardcore space sim where you're flying between planets. And I know Earl did mention that, like, it is possible.
Yeah.
I think Alana Pierce was out there. She flew to Pluto manually.
You got 7 points to kill.
Yeah. It takes a while, but like, I don't know. I like being able to just like, oh, hit this button, it says mission, and it'll warp you directly there.
Yeah, and once you figure out the map, like, I saw people complaining about the map, but once you figure out how it works, the map is great. I love the map.
Yeah, and like, there are times where you have to bring that map up because the jump is too far. You only have a certain amount of fuel. So you have to like make like a halfway jump, like a different point. So you kind of plot a course to a different system and then you plot a final course to there. But it's very easy to do. Like, just look at the map, press Y, it'll set the course, and you jump out, it'll jump there. Very, very simple space sim stuff going on there. Have you guys done any of the crafting yet, or the base building, or?
Nope. I don't think I've even been introduced to either of those things, really.
I haven't. I think you'll pop open your scanner at some point, and they'll be like, if you press this button, you can set up an outpost. And I was like, I don't want to set up an outpost on this very barren moon. So I didn't do that. So I don't know if I fucked up the tutorial for that.
Some of the, like, it's obvious some of the people I have recruited are much more suited to being at an outpost than they are, like, on a ship. So I feel like I have to hop into that at some point. So it's something you could just do on any random planet.
Yeah, you can just, and then you can set up trade routes between them. Where, like, the outpost, if you set up like a refinery or something, it'll collect resources for you there. And then I guess if you set up a trade route, it'll ship them to you.
Collect bullets for me, please.
I don't know if it'll do that. That would be nice because I'm always like,
I need a bullet generator.
I have to keep pulling out the cutter because, like, I'm always out of bullets. Like, I'm killing you with my mining laser that they started me out with.
Part of me is like, should I just go with the axe? Or, you know what I mean? Like, should I just go, like, lead into melee? But it's like, you just get so fucked up running in to do that. Like,
yeah. Anytime, like, one of the space pirates charges me like that, it's like, why is this guy charging me? You're dead.
Yeah, he's dead. You're like, I'd shoot him in the head a few times. But I always switch to melee when I run out of bullets. Like, I'm like, okay, well, now I don't have a choice.
I mean, I'm going to get out of situations because I'm, like, you know, investing in persuasion. I don't know. A lot of times you still have to fight no matter what. Like, it's just like there's bugs coming for you. Like, they don't talk. Bugs don't talk.
Bugs don't talk. And there's definitely spots where you're going to, like, roll up on, like, when you're just exploring a planet, you're going to roll up on, like, an abandoned refinery or something, and space pirates or cultist or something is going to be there, and they don't want to talk to you. Like, there is no option to talk. They just shoot.
Well, like, the mission I'm doing.
Go ahead.
I mean, right now I found these ruffians who I'm supposed to, like, take in, and there's, like, no option to persuade them out of it. It's like, it's ending in a fight. You know what I mean? So it doesn't always work. I love, like, I don't know. It's like something I like about RPG like this is being able to do that, because, like, I love to invest in that and just being able to, like, fucking Jedi mind trick people. Like, no, you're gonna let me fucking do what I want. Like, there was a bank robbery earlier in the game, and I, like, talked to those guys into, like, surrendering by being like, look, you know, maybe they'll give you leniency if no one gets hurt. shirt, blah, blah, blah. And it worked. And I was like, hell yeah, that's awesome.
You know, there's some good ones that you can kind of talk your way out of. Have you done, I mean, I assume you probably didn't since you're doing that deputized quest, but have you done the main quest where you go back to the initial planet or you go back to Vectera, the mining planet?
I've done that one.
Yeah, so you got to go back there because you're looking for the guy who gave you the ship. Because
I don't think I've done that yet.
He's part of Constellation, the group that you join at the beginning of the game. And so you end up having to go and you go look for him, and there is a conversation that can take place in that one. So you may get some more opportunities to talk your way out of situations.
I talked myself out of that one. I know exactly what you're talking about. That was fun. That one was really well done.
Very good writing between Barrett and the enemies in that, and you. Like, I thought very, very, like, very good, fun writing, character-wise.
The weird thing about that particular one was you could still afterwards, like, loot everything. So, like, oh, I've talked myself out of the situation. I'm also going to take all your stuff. Just don't worry about it. I'm just going to grab it. See you later.
I know, Jeff.
Go ahead. I was meeting, I forgot who, in a bar, some lady to talk about something. I forgot what. And I walked up, and I was playing in third-person character. And I accidentally, like, picked up a salt shaker off the table, and I got fucking arrested. Just because I thought I had her highlighted and I was trying to talk to her. I picked up a salt shaker. I didn't get anything of it. And this fucking police rolled up because I picked up a salt shaker and I got arrested. Anyways, where were we going, Chris?
Because you committed assault.
Jeff, you had said you did the Shaw quest line where you get the artifact. And then you come out and you talk to Shaw, who's like the leader of these, like,
oh yeah, yeah,
bandits or whatever. the way you explained it earlier was that,
that,
like,
was so funny.
You talked your way out of it, and then she gets attacked, and like you were just like, oh well, I'm not sticking around for this shit. Just warp to your ship.
The Ashta or something rolled up and started attacking her.
It's just like local monsters, like local wildlife. Like,
I probably could have just stayed there,
taken them.
But I was just like, I pulled up my scanner, looked for my ship, and you know how you could like fast travel to your ship if you could see it usually.
Yeah.
And just did that, and see, and like right as I'm doing, she's like, "You better fucking help me!" Like, so I don't know what happened to her.
You might go back, and she might be dead.
It was just such an awesome asshole move.
Just I got what I wanted, and we're out. I owe you nothing.
Shouldn't mind threatening me.
I helped her out, and she gave me like a gun or something and some credits, but Sean said he did the same thing and didn't get anything from her. So I don't know. I don't know if that quest is bugged or if it's just random, like if you get anything or not. But yeah, you just noped out. We're like, time to leave.
I didn't realize how small all the fight, like, well, there's trouble coming. I got what I needed and I'm good. And bye.
How do you guys finding the upgrades? You get a skill point every time you level up, which you can either buy a new skill or you can upgrade a skill you've already purchased.
But you can only upgrade that skill if you've completed the certification challenge.
Yes.
Which I kind of like. So. The thing, it's like you're putting skill points into things, and like if it comes out that you have a skill that you like never use, Like that becomes plainly evident. You're like, okay, well, I guess I don't need to put any more points into that skill because it's just a waste. It also means you're not like sitting there like spending all of your points in one particular skill in a row. Like it takes time to get that certification. So it's like your character ends up better balanced over a wide variety of skills as opposed to like, all right, I'm just going to keep sticking points into shotgun until shotgun's really good. And then I'll move on to like piloting. Like you can't do that.
Or like Jeff would probably just put everything into persuasion. He actually has to talk people out of things.
Yeah, it's like you have to talk, you have to persuade five people, then you can get to the next level of persuasion. It's like, it's not.
Yeah, this is why my counterpoint is I don't love it. Let me do what I want. Like, so yes, you guys stumbled new. I want to like upgrade my persuasion more, and I, you know, I'm on rank 2 of it or whatever. But like, and then it's like you need to five people. It's like, well, I got a skill point now. I haven't had five opportunities. Like I have, I've had three, but now you're forcing me to spend. I guess I could just sit on the skill point. But I end up spending it somewhere else. I don't love it. Just let me do what I want to do.
But that's the thing, right? You're not using the skill.
I am using it.
If you were using it, then you would be able to upgrade to the next level.
There's not been five within the level I just did. Like you know, going from level 3 to level 4 or whatever. I did not have five opportunities to convince people. Every opportunity I had, I used and I convinced them, but I only had three. And now it's like, well, now I got a skill point. I want to level this up, but I can't. It's not because I'm not using it. I'm using it every opportunity I can.
But there aren't that many opportunities. So maybe like putting a bunch of points into that skill is a waste.
Let me decide. I'm an adult, but I don't like it.
They're not emphasizing the persuasion skill and the things that you happen to be doing, so maybe like, you know, putting points into that skill is not as valuable as you think, even though you want to.
What is the point of this is to play how I want, right? So that I don't love it. I like the idea, you using the skill helps increase it in some way, which they kind of used to do anyways.
Yeah.
I don't love spending a skill point on something because, oh, well, you haven't used it enough. It's like, well, dude, there was only three opportunities to convince someone in the last fucking couple hours of the game. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, and I guess I could sit on the skill point, but what I end up doing is spending it elsewhere and being like, well, that sucks. Like, you know, now I got to wait longer.
But you don't, because by the time you convince the other three people or whatever you have to, you'll have another skill point. Like, you're going to get skill points plenty. Like, they're going to back up.
You don't level up a million times in these games, really. At least from my memory.
I don't think there's a level cap in this one, and I think you get lots of especially when you complete missions, you get lots of XP. Like I level up almost every time I complete a mission.
I don't know. I think it's kind of a neat idea, but we like already bumped like easily bumped into like why I don't like it. Like I don't love it. It's not like, you know, gonna make me change
but
my
it's like you're level, but again I don't like you're trying to level up a skill that you're not using very often.
I just said I'm using it at every opportunity I can,
right? That's you're using it at every opportunity, but you're not getting opportunities to use it, so why are you wanting to level up that skill?
I'm getting out of it, you know. I'd say getting
you get you got you
use
you only need like to get
hold
to
on.
The second
sell
to
down, this, sell no, down no, Tony.
Because you have like this weird contradiction. You only need to use it five times to get to the second level.
Yeah.
But it took me like 6 hours to get those five opportunities. So why am I putting points into a skill that I'm only using five times every 6 hours? Like, it doesn't really make sense.
That's how I want to build my character.
But again, that's
you're telling
that's
me you're defining
the point.
That's my decision, dude.
Well, right,
that's not,
but
that's not their.
But you could put another point into that skill, but you're like you're just like wasting the point. Like you could put the point in later, like when you've had enough.
And it's also like,
yeah, in the meantime, though, it's harder to convince people. You know what I mean?
It's not.
I haven't run into a situation where I can't.
If you choose the right ones, the right solutions,
it's not always the same. I've had the same scum through them.
Oh, wow. No.
Sometimes you can say the same thing and it doesn't work.
I think
there might be a dice roll behind the.
Yeah, there's got to be, because there's green, yellow, red in terms of. Earl's like, what the fuck? Earl's probably checked out. But yeah, like sometimes if you choose the yellow one, it might work and you might fill up the persuasion bar 4, right? But it might not. Like, so yeah, it would make it easier if I could level up how I want to level up and make it easier to do the thing that I want to do.
I don't know. I haven't failed yet. Like, I haven't failed in any of those yet.
I had to do the bank robbery one a few times for sure. And I would, like, use the same responses, and sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like,
there's got to be a dice roll. Like,
die roll. There's got to be.
Yeah.
Again, I think we've proven that Jeff is unlucky.
Yes,
and how things impact him. But like Jeff, I understand what you're saying, but it's also 100% they chose to kind of go this route this time around.
They're protecting Jeff from himself.
No, I don't like it. I really like at first I was like, oh, that's neat. Like, but then I was like, wait, why am I saying that's neat? There's no like. They're fucking handcuffing me. Like, I don't think it's neat. It's like having to pay to fucking unlock a level in a fucking platformer. It's stupid.
Well, I like being able to be like, I have executed this proficiency, and now I myself am actually better at using it.
Some of them are like literally like walk, run, run 1,000 yards while you're over, like almost over encumbered. It's like, I could just literally do that. Why are you making me do like, I just run back and forth
use
for 5 minutes.
Health packs. That's like, okay. That didn't take very long.
I think in general, most of them, if you're using, like if you're playing that way, it's going to happen naturally anyway.
Yeah.
Cause I haven't had to chase any of them.
Yeah. And that's kind of the point I'm trying to make is like, the skills that you use, like you're gonna do that thing often enough that
the weight thing, like dude, I started just dumping everything and now I'm not at
you're still gonna be dumping everything though.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, like in order to upgrade that one, you have to run around for 1,000 kilometers or something with 75% encumbrance. It's just like.
But it kind of makes sense, though, right? In real life, what makes you stronger? And it's doing that kind of shit. Like, okay, I'm going to...
That's
their thing. Like, Oblivion was... Or not Oblivion. Skyrim was like, okay, how do you get better at blacksmithing? Well, you blacksmith.
You don't have to spend the point. You know what I mean? Like they've always. I thought it was cooler how they used to do it with some of the shit, where that shit would just go up the more you use it. And here it's like, well, you have a skill point, but you can't spend it unless you've like done whatever like this thing laid out for you. I don't know. It's a way of refining their system there, but I just don't.
I think it's a mix of like the Fallout perks and the Elder Scrolls like use your shit, skill. And I don't dislike. I understand why you would dislike it. I don't dislike it. I'm kind of enjoying, filling up meters and shit, like using my pistol and being I have reached proficiency level with my pistols and maybe.
Otherwise, I would totally be doing what Jeff was like. I'd stick more points to persuasion. I would. And like in every game like this, it's the first thing I level up because it seems so useful. But in this game in particular, they just don't seem to use it very often.
I don't know.
That's I was gonna say Skyrim, but it's
Starfield.
It's kind of.
I mean, it is. It's exactly one of those games, but you know, with some spaciness.
I am excited to see what you guys think when you've reached like the weird change point.
Well, the other thing is, supposedly there's some sort of like there's a lot of secrecy about what New Game Plus is. I don't know if any of you have looked it up. I'm sure you can find out now, but it's like, I'm like, what is it? What's so special about New Game Plus? Like,
I know a little bit about it. Basically, you can like skip the story stuff, but you're bringing in, and it's hard to talk about because you guys haven't gotten to the point that I just did. But that carries over, and like you get that stuff right from the outset. There's like some weird story stuff that happens. And there's also weirder story stuff that I think that happens that I don't know about yet because I didn't look up much more than that. But people have definitely been talking around stuff when they're describing.
Well, a lot of people had to.
Yeah.
We can see whatever like, you want.
Like professional shows and stuff and journalists, they're not gonna go out there and spoil that shit for the game just came out 2 days ago, so officially it's been out for about a week now, but that's Starfield. I'm sure we will be talking more about it. Hopefully we all get new ships at some point and less Grendels. I just burned through that ammo so quick.
Yeah, a fucking clip. How big is a clip? Like 50 fucking.
It's 50 and it goes fast.
It's shit's garbage, man.
That is my only complaint about the game. Like the ammo situation just makes no sense. Bab.
Yeah, and it does. It very much, like, Tony, you kind of said it. It feels like Fallout, but there's no reason for it to be scarce. especially since everybody else seems to have unlimited ammo. All right. Additionally, Jeff and I, and I think Earl as well, continue to play Sea of Stars. Jeff has dumped it in favor of Starfield.
Oh, I thought Jeff was over it already.
Over it as in beat it or don't like it anymore? Because I
don't like it.
No, that's definitely not the case. That game is great. The game is really great. And it like keeps getting like better. The level design keeps impressing me. Like when you're doing like a dungeon or whatever you want to call it. It's just
so
like,
fun.
Yeah, it's like that type of a game, but again, I think we touched on this before, like the amount of puzzles and stuff, it feels like way more, and just, yeah, like the level just feels clever without ever being like overwhelmingly like difficult or anything. It's just like, it's just kind of perfect. Like the game is so good. I don't know. Have you beaten it, Chris? Because I don't know how far that I am.
You are halfway.
Wow, jeez.
So I did look up kind of where we were. I hit the point where you were. I think I'm a little bit past you now, and we're about halfway through. Maybe a little bit further than halfway, but about halfway.
Yeah, I felt like I was getting near the end somehow.
If you beat the Dweller of the Terror or whatever, I don't know, you freed the gorilla, and you at the end of that, if you talk to the archivist, he becomes one of your party members.
Cool.
You got that? Yeah, there is a sixth party member as well that we still haven't gotten. So they're still adding stuff and party members and areas, and there's a lot more bosses and dungeons to explore. So, Earl, how far are you in?
I've not made a ton of progress, honestly. Okay. It's been a very long, short week.
Understandable. What were you going to say, Jeff?
No, nothing. I think the game is fantastic, man. Like, I don't think I have any major complaints about that game.
It's right. I am really loving it.
I have one major complaint. Why is there no journal? It doesn't make any sense, but
it's so linear.
guess, dude, but it's like, dude, you've modernized things in every other way, and it's like even old RPGs had a fucking journal telling you what the fuck did, like, I don't know, dude. If you stepped away from that for long enough, you could be like, I don't know, what, you know, I guess you could go around talking to people and figure out what you were doing again, but, like, it's just so weird that it's not telling you what you're supposed to be doing. Like, that's, like, kind of it. Like, I don't really have much else bad to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, if you were to step away from it for an extended period of time, that maybe you'd be like, I don't know why I'm on this island, but generally, if you just push forward on the island...
Yeah, it'll often become apparent, like, oh, yeah, I was doing this. But I don't get why there's nothing saying what your mission is or anything. It seems so weird for, like, a brand new game. Like, especially the game that, like, hits, like, everything right. Like, again, like, everything else in this game, I think, is fucking great. The music, even the storytelling is really cool. There's, like, some cool twists that have already happened for us so far.
Yeah, some really fun writing too, like
good humor. Yeah.
There's, and I mean, the messenger had some good humor in it as well, but this is more like moment to moment writing and humor. Just some funny things where, like, a character, you know, you find out about this one character that joins your party, and they're kind of like, you can't tell these people. And they were like, yeah, we kind of already knew. And, like, it's very clear, it's very apparent who this person is, just in the way that character have been acting in some of the cutscenes. But it's, like, some funny gamey, like, making fun of, like, how games are, like, oh, you're too stupid to understand what's going on. And it's like, no, like, the characters know what's up, and because the player knows what's up. And the island I'm at now is actually the island from the messenger. So, like, there are, you're going to, like, on that island, you'll go to locations that you went to in the messenger. It'll be obviously a different perspective, 'cause this game is kind of like up down.
Yeah.
But it'll be neat.
I think that would be lost on me. I don't even know if I would have noticed that, just 'cause, like, you know, I played The Messenger when it came out. I don't remember it well. I don't think I finished it. I think I got halfway or something.
Yeah, so you might not have, like, I mean, I really love The Messenger.
I know. So you're going to, like, notice.
And,
like,
yeah, well, I kind of thought, like, it's like, And, like, you hear some motifs in the music that are like, this seems reminiscent of The Messenger. But there's one, like, you go to this place, and you did it already. You go to this glacier, like, this ice area, because you have to get a amulet from it. And it's like the music there sounds very much like, and it is, it's just straight from The Messenger. And you find out later that place that you were at, that you warped to, was the island that you end up on, that you need to go to. And because it's part of Messenger Island, that's actually where the ice dragon is in the messenger. So I don't know if you got that far.
That universe, man.
Like, it's like it's neat that, like, all this stuff is there. Now you're gonna go to, like, all the locations from the messenger as you explore the island, and go and fight this. Who seems like might be the big bad, but I don't think it is, because there's still a lot of game left to go. Really good on Game Pass, also on PS Plus Essential, or I don't know what premium, or I don't know what the high end of that.
I think you're correct.
So yeah, if And it's evidently sold pretty well too. It sold 250,000 copies
in its first week,
which is very good for an indie RPG that I think is priced at $40. So, and then all the people playing it, you know, through the subscription services, game's doing very well. And we didn't talk about it, but Starfield also doing very well. So.
So haven't Tony and Earl tried this game? I don't think I've heard
Earl of them has.
Yeah, I was literally on a trip. I came back and Starfield was out, so I haven't had a chance to play it. But I want to try it. It sounds pretty good.
I talked about it last week. I played through like the first 3 hours or so. I've been enjoying it. Like I said, it's been a very hectic week for me. I haven't really played anything, like sat down and invested time in anything.
And I feel this is Sea of Stars is definitely a game that you need to be able to sit down and play for like an hour or two to make some progress in, like significant progress. It looks like I don't know that how long the beat keeps going up. The average, like the base level keeps going up. I think when we looked at it last week, it was like 23 hours, but.
What is it at now?
I think it was at 27. So like, I think the people that beat it early on, they were
they sped through it.
Yeah, and now it's taking normal people a little bit longer, but still it's at 26 hours now. So, and that's just main quest. But that's still a reasonable amount for an RPG. Not excessive.
Well, it makes sense that I was not as far as I thought I was then, though.
You're what, like 14 or so hours in, Jeff?
No, I don't know. I somewhere in there, like maybe less than that.
Probably some idle time.
I was like, yeah. But I was like, oh, well, you know, if it's roughly 20 hours... And I thought maybe that was too high of an estimate. I'm like, maybe this is like 15 hours and I'm about to fucking wrap this up. No.
No, there's a lot of story.
I mean, that's okay. Like, you know.
Yeah, so I'm bouncing between that and Starfield because I don't want to I don't want to end up like you. Like, what was I doing?
Starfield is just such a time suck for me that like I just can't. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just I could easily lose like 2-3 hours in Starfield doing almost nothing.
That's any Bethesda game where you just get lost in that world. So,
yeah.
Earl, you said you didn't play anything really this week.
The only thing I back to is my first love. I played some more Exo Primal.
Okay.
Which again, I'm getting to the point you were talking about with the insanity with dinosaurs. We got, you know, like a double T-Rex mission. Still have not gotten to the point where you get to fight together yet. But like, we have got, like, it's weird how that game rolls out stuff. Because I was going to say, we got to the point now where you get like actual PvE endgame or missions.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, now it's like, oh, okay, we get, what am I trying to say? Like, we got one where it's like you have to capture these energy cores, and it's like you are fighting on the same battlefield with the other people. It's not like, oh, you're doing your thing, they're doing your thing. It interacts at some point, but no, this is like you're actually fighting, and it was fascinating to see that unfold. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. And then, you know, me and Fortnite and more trying and then Shade Aspire and stuff like that. So yeah, not super exciting.
And Tony, you were on a trip, so I believe you just played Starfield since you've returned.
Yeah, that was the only game. Like, I played Baldur's Gate and then I left and Starfield was out. Sorry, Baldur's Gate.
That'd be interesting when you return to Baldur's Gate, because you're somewhere in Act 2, right?
No, I'm in Act 3. So Okay. The interesting thing about Baldur's Gate, so the story's not linear, like through Acts 1 and Acts 2. but it's much closer to linear until you get to Act 3, at which point, like, this story kind of just explodes into this giant, like, cascade of interweaving. It becomes huge. Like, Act 3 is so much bigger than the other two in terms of, like, story and the stuff that happens, that it's kind of hard to digest. So it took me, like, I think I spent 40 odd hours getting into Act 3, and I've already spent that entire amount, like the same amount of time in Act 3 that I spent in the first two acts combined. I'm also at, like, when I stopped, I was at, like, what is supposedly the toughest boss fight in the game. So it might take me a little while to, like, plan that one out.
Get through that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to eventually playing that game. So
it's out on PS5 now. You all can play it, except for Earl.
It's coming to Xbox sometime this year. So it might just hold out.
Apparently, it sold amazing well on PS5, like, to the point where Larian was like, "What?"
I mean, it's one of the best reviewed games of the year. So, like, it's a they probably shouldn't be surprised, but also they don't, you know, PlayStation isn't getting Starfield, so if you want your RPG fix, that's
right.
Kind of it for right now.
I mean, did you see that video where that person modded in
that's just, yes, the level of I can't handle the level of
stupid. I was so, like,
why?
Yeah, that was so special. That was very special.
I think we didn't actually say it. So they modded in the Sony startup thing over the Bethesda startup. I'm not really sure why you would want that in your game, but sure.
Just trolling, I guess.
Trolling yourself out of time.
I don't know who you're trolling at that point.
I don't know. Like, I got the one version that's on PlayStation. Look, guys, it has the PlayStation boot up screen
that you have to use on your
PC, I guess. Like,
wild, and just a total waste.
Just a waste of time. Yeah. Just a waste of time.
I saw that they've actually, like, modders have done some good stuff with, like, inventory management and stuff. I think inventory management is better in that game than it has been in other Bethesda games, but still not great. So I might check out some of the mods for that at some point. And I don't know if they're active on console yet, but if they are, I might poke around on them. Jeff, did you play anything else besides Sea of Stars and Starfield?
Oh, yeah. I've been playing for the last 2-3 weeks Game of the Year winner Vampire Survivors on the Switch. Oh.
All right. How's that working out on Switch specifically?
It's working out great. The co-op mode is an awesome addition that feels like essential, like it should have always been there. It is really, really fun to play this with someone else. Playing with my wife, and the first game, you know, I'm like trying to convince her to play this, because first of all, anything that looks like old, she's just like, why do they do graphics like that? That's stupid. I was like, just try it out. I go, I think it's something you would like, you know. And play our first game of it, and of course die, and she's like, and you like this game, why? And I'm like, it's super addictive. I'm like, right? Like, 2 days later, she's bought it on her Switch. She's playing it constantly all the time. We play it together every night. You know, all our games, which is great on top of it. I bought the DLC, too, last night, because I was like, you know what? We're having so much fun. Might as well keep it going. The way the co-op works is, like, do you guys know anything about the co-op? Or do they add it on Xbox? No. Does anyone know?
It's added on everything, but I don't know how it works.
Oh, they did add it on Xbox. Interesting. I thought it was, like, exclusive to the Switch version. So the way it works is you're both sharing one screen, so it doesn't split at all. So you have to like stay together. And you know, the blue bar that fills up on top is shared. So you start the game, you know how it fills up real quick the first time you level up. Well, that'll go to player one. Next time you level up, it goes to player two. Next time goes, you know, it just alternates who gets to level up each time. So you have two players out in the field. Theoretically, you're doing more damage, but, you know, 10 minutes in, you're not quite as leveled up as you would be because half of your level ups are going to the other. So it's sometimes, like, I would argue it's maybe harder playing co-op. The other thing, what is the other thing I wanted to say about it? So I think normally you'd be able to have like six weapons and six, you know, whatever modifiers, like the, you know, like the spinach and stuff like that, right? When you're playing two players, it X's out two of the boxes, so you can only get four weapons and your other player can only get four weapons or whatever. So I wonder if that increases the number, because like, I think you could play up to four players. So I wonder if, like, if you're playing four players, you can only have like two weapons or something crazy like that. I have no idea.
Well, that would be nuts.
Yeah, but two players, it like feels like really well thought out and balanced, and it's really fun.
Question for you: so you can only have like, and that includes items too, I assume, right? Like,
yeah, like the modifier. That's what I was saying with the modifier things, like. The non-weapon items, like, so you get two less of those when you're playing two-player.
Right. So, and you get two less weapons, too, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But I think you can evolve a weapon that your other player is playing, and you know what I'm saying? Like, you can get to pick up, yeah.
Got it. Okay, so that was what I was wondering. Like, as long as somebody has picked up the evolution piece, like, can you still evolve your cross or whatever?
I don't know. Let's say I pick up the thing that does like 8% cooldown reduction. Like, I don't think that other player gets that cooldown reduction. That, mm-hmm. You know, if I had that item all the way leveled up and they had their weapon all the way leveled up, I think it would evolve it. Because it's weird, because it's as it's for her when I go to pick it up, I'm like, why would you even offer me this one? If you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense. So I think it's one of the things maybe I'll be able to answer better for you down the road. But yeah, it's really great. I think it like feels like that is how the game should be played. It's crazy. My criticism of the game still stands that by the time you beat the first level, at least in my experience playing through the game now twice, is like by the time you beat the first level, you've now leveled up. Like, there's nothing else to level up permanently, and you kind of plow through the rest of the game. It's kind of a bummer for me. Even though, like, the game is always fun to play through, it's like that initial climb up to beating the first level is like the most fun to me.
Yeah.
And then it's just like trying out the other levels, trying out the other characters, and you know. Did you guys ever play the dog character that like farts?
I don't think I played that one, no.
That one I played on Xbox, so I don't even think it's DLC or anything. Like, I don't know. I don't even see it on the Switch version yet, so I don't know if it's something I unlocked at some point. But yeah, it's like he plays a dog and his main attack is farting. Which is accurate to dogs.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that game is phenomenal. Like, really, really enjoy the two-player mode of that. Also, Chris, I don't know if you were ready to move on or not, but I also beat the Disney Illusion Island game.
Yeah.
That was a game.
I'm sad that you did not like it.
Not that I didn't like it. It was fine.
It is very much an intro to Metroidvania. Like.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine. It's a game I would like recommend to people that like those, like who like Metroidvania type games. But like, boy oh boy, not at $40. I don't think that game is worth $40. Maybe $20. But yeah, it's just, it's one of those games that, like, it's already fading from my memory. You know, it was like, yeah, it was fun. It was good. But it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like a special gaming experience like so many of the games I've played this year. This was just like, yeah, it was good. It was good.
I mean, it likely does not make my top 10 at all, but I enjoyed playing it. Thought it was a good time.
It could make mine, if only because I used to, but it would be like very low. It'd be number 10, probably, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's it for me, though.
Like, it's currently, like, right, it's like at like 9, 10 for me right now. So
with, you know, a few big games coming
there's
out.
Yeah, there's still some stuff to come. Yeah. So, like, unless, like, Spider-Man and Forza and Assassin's Creed and Mario shit the bed. Like,
yeah.
It's not going to make it into my top 10.
Yeah, zero chance of those all shitting the bed.
Yeah, like, the likelihood is a couple of them are going to be pretty good.
Maybe, yeah, who knows?
Real quick, I did play one other thing. I've kind of been playing it. So I've been, you know, working from home. And while I wait for reports to load and stuff, I've been poking at Arcade Paradise. Talked a little bit about last year. It's an arcade, like you own an arcade and you're running an arcade sim. Actually, you own a laundromat and you're running an illicit arcade out of the back. And you're expanding, like the way the game progresses, you're expanding your arcade and shrinking the laundromat. I'm almost at the end of that. That game is a ton of fun. I have like 30 different arcade games in my arcade now. And you can play all of them. You can go up to the machines and play them. And actually, if you play them, they become more popular so that you make more money off them so you can buy more machines. But they have some really cool stuff in there. Like there's a cool Missile Command knockoff. There is a Double Dragon knockoff. There's an Arkanoid or a breakout type knockoff. Like there's a whole bunch of these. Like they've made fake versions of like real games, and they've done a really good job with some of them. That game's a ton of fun. I'm almost at the end. Actually, I can buy the final upgrade. I'm just kind of like screwing around trying to max out my bank account because there's an achievement for that. But that game is a ton of fun. It is currently on Game Pass. I think you have to kind of like work your way through the opening hours of it when you're managing the laundromat to buy some arcade machines. But once you do that, it becomes a ton of fun, like playing those arcade games and managing, you know, where they are and the finances of the arcade is kind of like a cool thing to do. So Arcade Paradise. News wise, I think we kind of covered Sea of Stars and Starfield talk with how well they were doing. I don't know if there was anything else that really jumps out at me news wise. Did you guys catch anything?
Nothing important. I say that and then I'm sure something comes to mind, but nothing comes to mind right now.
Yeah, nothing was like, oh, this is like the big thing that happened this week. It was really like Starfield came out. That was what dominated kind of gaming news. And we talked about Embracer shutting down Volition last week because they did that at the same time as Starfield reviews launched. So,
did you hear that Starfield allows you to select pronouns?
Pronouns?
Oh. Pronouns!
Wild, so fucking boring!
No, I did not know that.
That guy looks like such a fucking goon, too.
It's so dumb. Like, who gives a shit? Like, why are they so upset over fucking pronouns? Oh, fucking idiots.
I don't think I could get that upset about like anything.
No. Like, there are things I could get upset about, but like it would be the type of person who gets upset about pronouns that would probably piss me off.
Just real quick, not pronouns, but what actually did you name your guys' characters?
Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Yeah. Dude, my character's so hot, dude. I like wanna make out with her.
Wait, you named your character Jefferson and it's a woman?
Yeah, I know, it doesn't make any sense. I've been doing that for a year or two now on RPGs.
So I mean, I know they does your robot refer to you as Captain Jefferson when you walk on? Like, do they have Jefferson in the name base?
I guess maybe not, because I've not noticed that.
Because okay. Every time I
so get you guys on, talk they, about that.
Yeah, they call me. Yeah. Like, the robot calls me Captain Morgan every time.
That's awesome.
Great.
My name I have been doing this for a while. I name the characters I play as is my kids. So like this one I'm playing as Morgan Christina, who's my oldest. They only use the first name, but every time it's like, "Hi, Captain Morgan." I did not think that shit through.
Nope.
But you're so happy.
It makes
you so happy every time.
It's kind of amusing. So I thought that was a nice touch, and it wasn't like, you know, when you pick a character in like an EA sports game or something, you normally have to like pick what you want your person to be called. They were just like, "We understand what you wrote. We're going to call them by that."
Right. Like the number of times that we've talked about this before where I had to like in NBA 2K name my guy Tony O'Connor because my last name's just not in there. Just not there.
So you need O'Connor, definitely a very familiar name.
Yeah.
All right. So, we all started 0-1, as Detroit has, they have won. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs 21-20.
Wow.
Not Andy Reid's finest day. It just did not work out.
Bad second half. Dude,
I should have been more contrarian with my choices. That's what I was trying to do. I was like, I'll go against what you know some other people are saying just because you gotta do something, right? Like, but I was like, Chiefs are gonna beat the Lions. Like, you know,
obviously, but like, and the Lions have been so bad in the beginning of the season, both the last 2 years, that you kind of expect them to be bad. But bad choices by Andy Reid. I don't know. Like, there was a fourth and one play where he ran like this weird like fake to the left jet sweep thing that got caught like 5 yards back in the backfield. I just sometimes Andy Reid outthinks himself.
Yes.
Also going for it on 4th and 25 when you have 3 timeouts is an odd choice. Don't do that.
I wish I saw some of this. What the fuck?
All right. Before we wrap up, we do have a question here. All right, so it feels like Game of the Year discussion will be mostly centered over Starfield and Baldur's Gate 3. Do you think games like Tears of the Kingdom, Resident Evil 4, etc. will be overshadowed? That is the question here for us to answer. I think Baldur's Gate and Starfield right now are the hot topics of gaming because been dry right now, but come November there's gonna be other stuff to talk about.
I don't see Tears of the Kingdom going anywhere. That game was fantastic. It was like the center of gaming discourse for like several months before Baldur's Gate came out, and I just don't see it going anywhere.
I'm a little surprised by the premise that Starfield is a Game of the Year contender.
Well, I mean, I don't think it is.
I think it's good. I like it.
I think going into the year, it was a Game of the Year contender. I do think your assumption, or I think what you're saying, is I do think some of that else is gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see what he's saying at all like, about like
I also yeah, go ahead.
Gate 3, yeah. I see Baldur's Gate 3. Yeah. Like that game came out of nowhere. It's done by like an awesome team that did a great job and people really love it. And I think people are gonna like really love like I really love Starfield so far, but it's not like it's not doing anything like crazy new or out there or like blowing my mind in any way. And the like it would really surprise me to see a lot of places give Starfield Game of the Year when it's in the 80s on Metacritic.
It's right? Like an 88.
Yeah, I mean that's not like not bad. Yeah, but it's
yeah,
not,
but
it's not like Game of the Year level.
Yeah,
I hate agreeing with Jeff. God damn it.
I think Tears of the Kingdom will win some.
I think Tears of the Kingdom is great. Like I have 50 hours in that game. I have 90 hours in Baldur's Gate. I think that game is fantastic. I have 6 hours into Starfield so far. Like it's almost too early for me to be like, oh yeah, this game belongs with those ones. Like it still has to earn it.
I just don't feel it shifting to it being a Game of the Year contender. I felt that for Baldur's Gate. Like, Baldur's Gate came out of nowhere, and everyone was like, it's so great, and blah, blah, blah. I feel that this game, I don't feel that way. And for me personally, none of the games he mentioned are my number one. So.
Now I'm okay. Well.
Diablo.
Diablo. It's like. I'm interested.
I'm going to keep you in suspense. I'm not going to let you guys know this year.
Jeff is not going to tell us until January that it's Diablo.
I'm not going to let you guys prepare what you're going to say against me. I'm coming in guns blazing.
Well, the problem is, like, you need to convince other people that it's their game of the year as well. And, like, if you're surprise, this game that you've never heard of is my game of the year. Like, great, Jeff. Yeah. Awesome.
Well, assuming it was that low, you know, I mean,
assuming it was.
So
I think we could have four very different Game of the Years again.
Well, I was gonna say because Walt sent in this question, I was curious about it, and you know, we had mentioned this last week when we were talking about you always forget the games that come out this year, and I was like doing like just a read-through of like potential Game of the Year contenders and ones that are kind of after the year. And there are some that are really out there. Like you mentioned Resident Evil 4, and I feel like I think remakes, remasters are very hard to be considered Game of the Year just because.
Yeah.
Like Resident Evil Kingdom of the Year came out. It's almost 20 years ago. So like I had Resident Evil and Dead Space kind of in their own separate categories. Like they're really good games, but I don't think they're in contendership for Game of the Year this year.
They were Game of the year they came out back in whatever year it was.
2004 for one. And like...
Both of these remakes are exceptionally well done. But yeah, I'm not sure that they elevate to that.
It would be a ballsy move. I don't think even any one of us would do that. Like me and Chris both loved Dead Space. Well, and Chris liked Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
I would never, like, as good as Dead Space was, it might be my top 10, maybe,
Nah, it would be really hard for me to pick a game of the year that wasn't a new experience.
Yeah,
for me.
There was one new shooting sequence or whatever, the turret sequence or whatever the fuck in Dead Space, game of the year. Like,
yeah, like I think it's a great game. It was already a great game. It's not at the top of my list.
There's technically new content in it, but I'm not gonna do that.
It was in January when I hadn't played anything else. That was it. And I mean, Resident Evil 4 remake is an excellent remake. But yeah, I don't know. I think Earl's right. Like there are some other things coming. And more likely, we're gonna have more something new.
Yeah, it's hard though. If you like the best game of like if this game comes out in November and it's on par with those games, like since it's more recent, do you pick that over those games? And I think those later games do kind of have an advantage there.
Yeah, they do. I mean, there's case like last year. Outside of us, like Elden Ring was a lock the day it came out. But like, you know, there's Yeah, there's some recency bias, like.
Oh no! I mean, we've had that, right? Like, I mean, I had to talk you guys down from giving Dragon Age Inquisition Game of the Year the one year because nobody had finished it. Like, it yeah. came out yeah. so late, and like you guys loved it, but
it's great.
Nobody finished yeah. it. And I think we may have made the right choice in knocking that down a peg.
Yeah, I still haven't finished it. It's been a while now.
I don't think I finished it either. It was cool. I remember liking it. I like just my crystal ball is that most publications will give Game of the Year to Zelda or Baldur's Gate 3. That's just me. You know, I think, you know, maybe some people give it to Spider-Man. Maybe. I don't know.
We'll see how good Spider-Man is. Like, you yeah. never know. Like, if it's the same game that we already played with, like, some minor upgrades, maybe it's not worth having as Game of the Year.
But I mean
yeah, that's how I felt about Zelda. But,
but so some of the ones I had that I were either were kind of like, one, of course, the actual game, Golem.
Golem. I mean,
oh, yeah, we forgot. We left that out of the discourse. Gosh, we're so bad.
But okay, one that I think, at least I know it will be in my list, Hi-Fi Rush. Really good game.
As a don't Game of the Year contender, though? Like,
I do think a Game of the Year contender. I don't think it will be, but I do think it should be in the consideration.
Maybe in Earl's list. It's
I could see conversation around it.
Yes.
It's something completely new, right?
Yes. I don't think any of us played Hogwarts Legacy. I'm pretty sure the only reputation it has is people hated it before it came out. Oh.
I played it a lot. It's high on my list, put it that way.
Okay. I completely forgot this came out this year, Jedi Survivor.
Yep, that's pretty high on my list, actually.
It's on my list of games I need to play before the end
of the year. It's on my list of games I forgot to put on my list.
I have a spreadsheet of all the games that come out.
I have
all
the games I
play, and I keep a running top 10 as the year goes by.
No, so me, too. Me too. But that shows you, in my opinion, did not leave a huge impression on me. I did not finish it, but I was decently far in it.
Oh, that came out right before Zelda, didn't it?
Yeah.
You were really into it at the beginning, and then Zelda hit, and then
it's good. It's a very rigid game. I think I was playing it at the same time. Yeah, I think I remember having this discussion of going from playing that to Zelda. Zelda let you be so experimental with how you played, and Star Wars was very linear. Like, it was very just like get from point A to point B, and there's one way to do it, and that's it. Like, it was good though. It was probably an improvement from the first one. I don't know. It's forgotten.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Again, not something that's for you on hours, but I mean, I heard good things about Street Fighter 6. Again, I know fighting games as Game of the Year is a very hard sell. We mentioned Diablo 4 already. Final Fantasy 16. Again, I don't know which one of us have played it enough, but again, I think that's a contender. Dave the Diver. Heard nothing but good things about it. Whenever I get around to playing it, hopefully it lives up to it. Not Game of the Year, but it will be on my list. Exo Primal. Pikmin 4. We've mentioned both the Gay Sea of Stars and Starfield.
I could see Jeff making Pikmin 4 his pick.
No comment.
Jeff, should I play Pikmin 4 before the end of the year?
Yeah, you should play it. Yeah.
just fishing right now.
So that's kind of the stuff that's been released. I'm sure there's stuff I missed. And then looking like ahead, again, doesn't necessarily any of these are going to be Game of the Year contenders, but stuff that historically have kind of been in the conversation just because of the type of game it is, Eyes of P. Again, I've heard really good things from impressions in the demo we had earlier this year. Mortal Kombat 1.
You mean Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat.
It's a week out.
Is it a weekend?
Y'all are forgetting about Lords of the Fallen is going to take us all by storm.
Uh-huh. Because those games already are in the hearts and minds of the rest of us.
No, I actually think the new one looks pretty cool, but
it does. It looks that's the problem with those games. They always look so cool.
It's a different developer. Playing,
I'm like, why?
It's a different developer, so it's its own thing. You could take it as
it's the thing that I think that's the thing that bothers me most about Elden Ring is like on spec. I should fucking adore that game, and why don't I? Bothers me.
They got anything you're saying about that is wrong, but Lords of the Fallen, the first one, I didn't think it was very good, but this one looked. I'm honestly more inclined to buy it than some of the other big games in October, strangely enough. But I got my eye on it.
Mortal Kombat 1, the super special edition, comes out next Thursday. Otherwise, it's September 19th.
Okay, that's right. Assassin's Creed Mirage, Assassin's Creed's always kind of in the conversation for a potential comeback.
It's always been on high on our lists. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, Tony and I very much like Assassin's Creed.
Spider-Man 2 was the original Spider-Man was our game of the year. The year it came out. Flip side is I don't necessarily know if we had the same love affair with Miles Morales. But
I like Miles. It was a good game.
Again, good game. Nothing wrong with it. Really fun.
It was a nice extended expansion of the first game.
It felt like it was just fancy DLC, but this is not some of this is us, and some of this is just thinking of the industry as a whole. This I think will be on a lot of our lists just because of what it is and who it is. But Super Mario Wonder.
Yep.
Absolutely. It is most assuredly a lock for my top 10.
I mean, it could come out that somehow Nintendo lost the plot on how to make a Mario game.
It's gonna be good.
Jeff's gonna begrudgingly be like, "All right, this is a good 2D Mario." Fine.
No, it's like, I don't see it actually being so good that it's winning Game of the Years from any major publication, but maybe.
We'll see.
I'll put my money on this. I'll throw it down right now. The game that wins most Game of the Years is Baldur's Gate 3.
I feel like Baldur's Gate is the talk of the town right now, and I'm not saying it, but I still think it's the talk between that and Tears of the Kingdom. I feel like Tears of the Kingdom doesn't have that. But I feel like once you kind of get into what came out this year, and then again, I think the first one was a Game of the Year contender. I mean, it was a Game of the Year contender. It's been a long time, so I don't know how this is going to work. But Alan Wake 2.
You saying the first Alan Wake was a Game of the Year contender?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. I mean, it was.
You were saying Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild was a Game of the Decade contender, and it fucking pretty much took that decade.
I mean, we're not in the same decade it came out. Wow, time flies. But yes, no, Breath of the Wild Fury is a generational defining game. I think that goes without saying. Alan Wake is what I'm talking about. Because again, Alan Wake 2 comes out in that October period. The weird thing is, and maybe I just did not go through this well, it seems like October is stacked, and then November exists.
Yeah. Hey, Call. Yes. When does Call of Duty come out? Is that November?
November.
I just figured. I don't know if Call of Duty's not that it's bad, but I don't ever see them as Game of the Year content. From other people.
They're too iterative. It's an interesting game, but not something you're like, oh, I've never had this experience before, because they literally make it the same every year because it's the same experience.
It's literally the second Modern Warfare 3.
Yes.
I hate the Dungeon system so much.
I think the Call of Duty Modern Warfare again was an excellent game. It was an excellent reboot of that. I think Jeff played Modern Warfare 2 last year. He thought that was really good. I'm sure it's going to be very good. It's going to be a solid game, but it's a roller coaster game. Modern Warfare 2 was
awesome, dude. Awesome maps.
Oh yeah.
super into it for a while, and I'm sure this one will probably be really good too. But it's just, yeah, it's
Call of Duty. It's more Call of Duty.
In a regular year, it would probably make my top 10. If this year, the way this year's going, it might not even do really that. Stacked. Yeah.
Yeah. And with the way October is, I don't even know if I'll get to Call of Duty in November.
No, I don't.
Or December. I mean, really.
Right. It's so many games in October.
I'm already upset about Sea of Stars and Starfield overlapping. Like, it's just like, fuck, yeah, man.
October is even worse.
No, I know. October is like, choices have to be made, or I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I just.
Like, can I? How quickly can I beat Mario Wonder? Like, can I get there?
I need to see.
If I take a day off work, can I play the whole game right? Day?
I mean, maybe.
You could. Yes.
So, speaking of Mario, I did forget one game, which I will put in the Resident Evil Dead Space camp, which is Super Mario RPG, which a lot of people have ever played with. So that is.
I'm excited to play it.
I wonder if they do anything with that. Because it was such a basic RPG.
Well, that's what I'm curious about, because as far as I can tell, it's not Nintendo remaking it, it's Square. And I could see Square trying to, like, you know, fancy it up in some ways, but who knows?
But yeah, I'm excited for that one.
I'm sure there's a ton of games that we missed, but I mean, to kind of, like, long answer short, like, I do think that more Baldur's Gate than Starfield are in contendership for Game of the Year, but I don't think people are necessarily going to forget Zelda and Resident Evil and Diablo and stuff that come out. Like, I mean, I think, you know, I always tease Jeff about this. I do think this is like that year that Jeff has been talking about for years now, where it's like, yes, this is a damn good year where there's a lot of strong contenders. I think there's been years where it's like, very obviously, it's going to be one or two, where I think there are a good five or six games that could take it, depending on the reception the last 3 months of the year.
I do think that this year in video games has been the best year in maybe 20 years, or close to it.
I would like say 20 years.
Since 2007.
It's definitely years. Like in recent memory. Like, has it been the best year since we put the podcast together? It might be.
Yeah.
It might be.
I would say it is.
I think it's a combination of, like, I mean, if you look at the fact that we are, this is going to be a fourth holiday season for the consoles, and then this will be the seventh for the Switch?
Yeah.
Like, usually that's kind of when you see the thing, because, like, people have had the systems, people get comfortable with the technology. I assume a lot of these are like COVID-related games that are finally kind of hit a maturation. I will say, you know, like, they have their issues, but it's also nice seeing Zelda, Battlefield, Starfield come out and, like, actually be fully formed games from the get-go. Like, I'm not saying they don't have their issues, but it's like, you know, it's not like, oh man, this game is like half ready. We're pushing it out the door to get it out the door. It's like, no, these are games, and these are games that, in the box for the most part, is the experience you want. You know, I'm not going to pick on it, but the one that, you know, Cyberpunk comes to mind recently as a game that's like, it was good for a lot of people, but it also did not work for everybody.
Yeah, we've had a good string, even Starfield. Like, you know, I mean, there are minor bugs in there, which kind of be to be expected with Bethesda, but nothing like game breaking. It's been a pretty good year. I mean, Redfall aside, right?
But I mean, Redfall wasn't on my list. You don't have to tell you this year with Redfall talk.
But I mean, like, boy, it was considered a major release, and it was kind of not playable.
Yeah, of this
at launch.
I was also gonna say, I mean, I say that now, but Jedi Survivor was also that way. Or at least I remember a lot of people complaining about the performance of the game
On PC. It was not in great shape on PC. But yeah, like Dead Space, Diablo, Resident Evil. All that stuff launched super solid, very, like, just impressive that, you know, we didn't need months and months to get that stuff fixed. So finally, we're getting a good year of games.
Yeah.
So, phenomenal year.
So it also begs the question now, like, what the hell's next year? Because there's not a lot announced for next year, is there?
The Switch will 2 will drop with, I'm assuming, Mario Odyssey 2 or Kart or something. A little Metroid Prime action. I think, you know, they might have 2 games.
Or something, but I mean, even then, that's still like that's not gonna fulfill it all. Like, I don't know what Microsoft
that won't stop this year. Yeah,
Microsoft supposedly will have Avowed.
Supposedly,
I mean, well, they're all just asked, like, what will they have next year?
Speaking of, since you said Avowed, that did remind me of one piece of news this week, which is that I don't know if it was news, but it came out that Skull and Bones. I lost another director.
Oh, I thought it. Yeah.
Yep.
Because you mentioned Vaporware, and that came to mind. So, oh, I mean, sorry, Avowed exists, and it's going to come out next year.
I mean,
I think Avowed will come out, and I think Avowed looks fun.
Yeah, there is more of a chance that Avowed comes out next year than Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones does not. That game is not real.
I don't know why they didn't just drop that game.
How many times have I said on this podcast, Skull and Bones isn't coming out, that game's not real?
So it seems, and this is just from some stuff that I've read about the game, is that the Singapore government put money into it. So it could end up being similar to a... What was that? The Rhode Island
Kingdoms of Amalur.
Yes, like and Ubisoft is just like, we need to get this done. Even if we take a loss on it, we can't cancel this, because then we're gonna, the Singapore government's gonna fuck us over. So
then just fucking release it, put it out. The game has been so close. It had like pre-order bonuses. They were like, it was that close. It was available for pre-order. They had it in stores. Like, it was there.
Put out a shitty hour. Shitty games all the time.
Yep. It's not going to hurt them to drop a bomb out there and, like, all right, so Singapore doesn't get
it. We fulfilled our contracts.
Yep. Like, and then whatever you need to pay off Singapore, you pay off Singapore, but get rid of it. Like, that and Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah,
get rid of that too. Shit don't exist. Oh, thank you, Earl. That was news this week.
That was.
I forgotten about that.
I mean, to be fair, I think we all forget about it.
In our brains, I don't think it qualifies as news anymore. We're just like, of course. Like,
it's another delay.
It reminds me of, it reminds me of like the Uncharted director. Where, like, every few weeks you get like a new update. It's like somebody's attached to the Dark Uncharted movie. So and so's dropped out. I mean, that eventually came out at some point. It's a forgettable movie, but it came out. So maybe there's hope yet for Skull and Bones.
Yep. We can't even remember the name. That was a game that was in, and this is how long ago it was. It was Assassin's Creed 4. It came announced after that game because it was
right, because it was based on part of it.
Yep, it was built off that.
People love this part of the game. We're going to make a whole game out of that. And that's great, but that was like 12 years ago.
Ridiculous. Oh, wow. That's the game of the year right there. There we go. There.
Whatever year it comes out, it'll be game of the year.
I'm sorry. I was just looking at the Wikipedia, and I'm always so fascinated by these things because, again, it shows you how worthless they are. Following E3 2017, Skull and Bones was nominated for Games Critic Awards, Best Original Game, and Best Online Multiplayer Award.
7 years ago.
I'm sure it's going to win at any time. Oh, that was the other thing. Sorry. All these dead things are popping into my head now. If E3 happens next year, wink, wink, it will not take place in LA. And Reed Pop, who I believe either ESA, we partnered with it this year or the end of last year.
Yep.
Is now broke the partnership. Like, yeah, this isn't going to work. So, you know, like, they don't know where it's going to be next year if they host it, but they're looking to come back strong in 2025. So if you could milk a stone, find it out now.
Oh, so we're in for another summer of Jeff, aren't we?
Oh, he was real quick, if it's
our Jeff,
that's fine.
But if it's Jeff Keighley, fuck Jeff Keighley.
Always Jeff Keighley. I think I said this in our group chat. Alone in the Dark was pushed from October into January 2024. I believe I was the only one that was excited for that game, though. So, good choice for them moving it out of October, though, because that game was going to get brutalized.
I think Alan Wake should have done the same. Bye bye.
Well, Alan Wake moved a little bit, but not all the way out.
Not out of the danger zone.
They reference Alan Wake in there today, and I'm like, oh, that's the one game you're worried about. It's Alan Wake. We didn't want it to like take that thunder. So
I get wanting to release horror. You know,
it makes sense, game, right? Game like
Halloween. I get it. It's like that. You guys heard of that movie Cobweb? It's like super Halloweeny, and they put it out in July on the same weekend as Barbie and Oppenheimer.
No.
Really? All right. Well, there's a movie called Cobweb. It's supposedly really like or pretty good, and it's very Halloweeny. Like it's Halloween themed, and then there's like pumpkins and shit everywhere. They put out in July on the weekend of Barbie.
I mean, that may be why I did not hear about it, Jeff.
Yeah, it's out now. You can rent it. I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it's very good. And yeah, it's just really. Choice there, like why would don't you? I mean, I guess maybe they thought, and again, this kind of maybe overlaps with what we were talking about. Like maybe they thought, oh, there's Exorcist and the new Saw in October, so maybe we need to like slip in. I mean, there are talk success for horror, but probably just like again, it's like I literally just told some horror fans, you heard of this movie Cobweb? Nope.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, I got lost. I got lost in the shuffle there.
I'll keep an eye out for it. I'm keeping an eye out for Slaughterhouse too. The killer sloth movie in a sorority house.
That's got a big theatrical release.
It was released for one day on my birthday, and I did not get to go see it. So I'm waiting for the digital release.
That sounds like a Tubi exclusive, man.
And evidently, like, it was reviewed fairly well. So,
Slaughterhouse, Jesus Christ!
I don't know, Jeff. I don't know. All right, well, we will be back next week. I don't think we'll have anything particularly new to talk about. More Starfield. Hopefully, maybe Earl will make some more progress in Sea of Stars.
You download it yet, Earl? You got it? Well, do you have the game?
He's played some of it.
I think you're going to do that with Starfield, which I downloaded.
Oh, yeah, Starfield. Is that downloading?
That's downloaded. It's on the system. I just like again. It's partially because Wednesdays are just my game night. I finished like I've been, and then today was work nonsense. So I've just been past, you know, doing stuff after work. So,
all right.
Well, this will be your first Bethesda game, yes?
I think so. At least I've not played Skyrim.
And how is that even?
Did you have an Xbox 360? Like, what are you doing?
Yes, I've had a 360 and an Xbox.
It just amazing. It's you love video games. I don't understand how you wouldn't like.
I don't know.
I would accept more that you tried them and you didn't like them than you never played one. Like
I don't know how you live in that era and not play Skyrim or Fallout 3. Like those were like ubiquitous. Like
Skyrim, like Earl, you're not big on fantasy stuff, right?
So yeah,
so Skyrim kind of makes sense why you might have, but Fallout is like, you know, it's a little bit sci-fi shooty-ish.
Skyrim makes the least sense to me because everyone has fucking played that fucking game.
Yeah, I mean, you could play it on a refrigerator. Like,
yeah,
that's what they bragged about, and it's ironic that it's not happened.
Earl is just stubbornly refusing to play it at this point.
I think so. It's like, it's too late to say I've not played it, but
like they're installing it on his phone for him. Like, no, not opening that app. Nope.
That's really amazing, though. I'm like shocked that you have not played a Bethesda game, because just, I don't know, they just felt like such a huge part of the 360 era. Like,
be interested to see how you take to it, because they are a particular type of game. So
yeah, we shall see. I mean, I know it's not the same thing, but I'm in the same ballpark, and I got like an hour into the Outer Worlds before that is the right one, right?
Yes.
So, we shall see.
Oh, so I mean, you've played that style then? If you've played,
it's similar.
Yeah. Okay.
That was actually pretty good.
Yeah, this feels like a more blown out version of that. Actually.
Yeah, it really does.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Maybe all four of us will have played a little bit of Starfield by that point. But we will have some stuff to talk about. Jeff, say goodnight.
Hanging out down the street. I'm not going to say the next line or I'll get in trouble. Anyways, good night.
Not as much trouble as he did.